The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah, wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Muslim Channel, welcome to our program, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. Yes, we're back on air now. So in Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow, what is the theme of this program? Well, in this theme of this program, what we try to do is we try to look at our rich heritage. As Muslims, we do not even realize that we have such a rich heritage, that we have the pious predecessors, we have the companions of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have the life of the wives of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and ultimately we have the life of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is our rich heritage, that if we look at of how they lived their lives, then there are so many, many lessons that can be learned from them. And they are our role models. They are the people that we need to look at so that we can look at yesterday, look at the past, to make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. So in this program, in this series of programs, we look at our pious predecessors, we look at their lives, we look at their examples and see how they lived their life and how we can learn something from it. One thing to note here is that whenever you hear an event that took place in the past, you know, be it 100 years, 500 years, or 1,000 years, or even 1,400 years. You know, it may seem like a very insignificant event. It may seem that it was an event that took place, and you're thinking, well, okay, fair enough. But you need to look at that, because every story, every event that's been recorded and kept in the books is there for a reason. So if something's been there for 1,400 years, for 1,200 years, for 1,000 years, and it's passed through generations, then there's something there for us. And if we just take it as a story and we do not benefit from it, we don't learn anything from it, then that's surely our loss. They've been passed down from generation to generation to generation for us to benefit. So whenever you hear an event that took place in the past, you know, a lot of people think, ah, well, it's something that happened 1,000 years ago, it's something that happened 1,200 years ago. It's not significant to me. It might not be significant to you today, but it may be significant to you in your future or in some part of your life. So relate to it. Try and understand, and try and understand the significance of that. So inshallah today we're going to carry on with that theme. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, why do we do this? We do this with intention. Then inshallah that by you listening to it, you become encouraged to recite salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, as well upon that, you also, become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak, and you pass these blessings on to others as well, with the aim that inshaAllah azawajal, everybody, all the Muslims around the world, that inshaAllah azawajal, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the blessing that we have today, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that a gathering, and a gathering can be any gathering, it doesn't have to be a huge gathering, a wedding, or it doesn't have to be a jalsa, an ishtama, or anything like that. Even a small gathering in your household. A gathering in which people do not praise Allah Azza wa Jal and do not send salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This gathering will be a means of regret on the day of judgment. And if He wills, i.e. Allah, if Allah wills, He will punish them for it. And if He wills, He will forgive them for it. Allahu Akbar. So again, our gatherings, the people that we associate with, what sort of gatherings are we sitting in? What are we talking about when we're sitting down with our friends? And again, if we're not talking about Allah and His Rasul, if we're not talking and praising the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're not talking about our deen, about our afterlife, and thinking about it, then ultimately, what is the purpose of that gathering? What is the purpose of that gathering in which you are sat with people, in which you're not talking about your deen, you're not talking about your afterlife, you're not talking about preparing for your afterlife, you're not talking about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me, what can be the benefit of that gathering? Okay, you'll find out who's good at football, you'll find out who's good at cricket, you'll find out who's winning the elections. But how will that ultimately affect you? What benefit will I get if a certain team wins a football match today? What benefit will I get personally if a certain, maybe cabinet minister gets, you know, promoted? You know, politics and on the sport and all these things, I need to look at my personal. Yes, maybe I might be a little bit happy if a certain team wins. Maybe certain politician gets into power. Maybe certain policies may be made that might affect me. But ultimately, the basic source of me is how I live my life. So do I spend my life in thinking about my afterlife? Do I spend my life in reflecting upon my deeds? Do I spend my life thinking about what gatherings I'm in? In the gatherings that I'm in, am I collecting sins there or am I collecting good deeds there? So this particular blessing of Durood-e Pak has so much wisdom behind it, if all we understand. In here we are told to look at our gatherings, look at the people that we associate with, and think to ourselves, what is the benefit of this gathering? And if in that gathering, inshaAllah, you praise Allah, you remember Allah, you remember your obligatory requirements that you have, that you're constantly thinking to yourself, when is my salah? You're thinking about your afterlife, you're pondering over your current deed, you're pondering over your status, and at the same time you're praising the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that moment, that time, that gathering, inshaAllah will be a means of salvation for you. But as we are also told, if that gathering, if that moment, in that time you are not, then that will become a place of regret for you. And on the day of judgment, Allah may punish you for that, if He wills. If He wills, He may forgive you. So that is something that we need to ponder. So please, viewers of the channel, we said it many, many times, but please make an intention of reciting the Durood-e-Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now today, viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah, a true lover of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without a shadow of a doubt, a true lover of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a reviver of the Sunnah, he was born on the 10th of Shawwal. Now his life, people have done degrees on his life. People have examined different aspects of his life. People have examined his love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his obedience to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wisdom, his hikmat, his knowledge among the sciences, among the different sciences that they had. But today, inshallah, what we're going to do is we're going to look at a little bit of his life, a little bit of his character of his life. And when we hear about the character of these people, these individuals, then what we need to think is, you know, imagine the time, imagine the place, and imagine the status of these people. Because sometimes, in certain aspects of our life, depending on our status, depending on our authority, on our power, our position, whatever it is in society, then certain things to act upon are quite easy. You know, if you, unfortunately, do not have a great status or a good tradition, then you to be humble is quite easy, but the higher you go up the ladder, so to speak, then remaining humble becomes harder. And so, in every aspect, you need to understand that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was the Imam of his time, the Mujaddid of his time, the greatest scholar of his time. And you can imagine that people would travel thousands of miles just to come and visit him. So when we hear about his character, when we hear about how he lived his life, then at the same time, whilst ponder over it, think to yourself, you know, who was this great person? What was his status? We're going to begin, if you zoom on the channel, by an incident that took place once. It is narrated that the Khalifa of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Mawlana Sayyid Ayub Ali Radhvi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, mentions that a man would visit Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, and sometimes he would go and visit that person too. And one day, when Sayyidi Ala Hazrat went and visited this particular individual, a poor man also came into the gathering, right? And he was sitting on a broken bed towards the edge of the courtyard. Yeah? And the man who was the owner of the house began to look at that poor person angrily. Now he's a broken bed. You know, in the Indian subcontinent, because alhamdulillah, the weather's a lot better than here. In fact, it's in some cases it's very, very hot. They sit outside in the courtyards. And in some places they have like large beds, and they sit on these beds and the whole courtyard. And this poor person, he was sitting on a broken bed. It was a broken bed, but it was in the corner. But he was a poor person. Now this person that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat had gone to visit, it was in his house, obviously. And this person, the host, he started looking angrily at this poor person. Now this poor person realized, and he became ashamed, he became embarrassed, and he got up and left the gathering. Now Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was watching. He saw all that was going, but he never said anything. He never said anything at that time. Sometime later, in another gathering, in which now this person had come to visit Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. Yeah? He had now come to him, now Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was the host, remember. Previously it was him was the host, now Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was the host, rahmatullah ta'ala. Now he was the host, and that same person was now in that gathering. The person who Sayyidi Ala Hazrat had wanted to visit to. And in this gathering, a poor barber came. And the barber came together, and the barber was called Kareem. His name was Kareem. And he was looking around where to sit. And Sayyidi Al-Azhar saw him, and he said to him, Brother Kareem, what are you doing? Come here and sit. And on purpose, he pointed to the position and made him sit next to that person who Sayyidi Al-Azhar had gone to visit to, who Sayyidi Al-Azhar, when he gone to visit, that person had looked at that poor person and effectively scolded him with his looks. On purpose, he made him sit there. And he said to him, Brother, we're all brothers, Muslims, we're all brothers. None of us are better than any other. Come here and sit here. Sit on this place here, next to this person. So he given him respect, given him that authority. And this person, he should have learned a lesson from that. He should have realized from the words of Sayyidi Al-Hazrat that he needs to have that respect for every human being. But even then, even when Sayyidi Al-Hazrat had given him this madri pearl, he didn't realize it. And unfortunately, he looked at the poor person and he got up out of disgust and he left that gathering. And after that, that person was not benefited. He did not get the blessings of attending Sayyidi Al-Hazrat gathering. And say, and that also the person did not have the benefit of Sayyidi Al-Hazrat going to visit to him as well. From this incident that took place, again, like I said to you, you need to look at these incidents. From this incident, we can see that Sayyidi Al-Hazrat had this mindset that we are all equal. You know, nobody, because of his worldly status, is better than anybody. Who do we know? How do we know who is the best in the sight of Allah? Can anybody say that when in your town, in your street, in your home, who is the greatest in the sight of Allah? You cannot say it. You do not know. I remember once going to a speech in a big masjid, and the scholar there, he said that, he asked the question, who is the most pious person amongst us? And the people, they were looking around thinking maybe there's a big scholar that's come here today. And they were unsure. And the scholar said that nobody knows the answer. Maybe the person that came in here, read his salah with us, and has left the masjid to go and earn an halal income, maybe he is the most pious person amongst us. We do not know. We do not know who is the most pious in the sight of Allah. And so we need to understand that arrogance of I am better than you, that doesn't exist. You know, in the dunya, success, how is success measured? Success in the dunya is measured by wealth. Success in the dunya is measured by status. Success in the dunya is measured by position. So if you're in a company, like I was in a company, and you're an engineer, then you become a senior engineer, then you become a principal engineer, then you become a director, then you become a senior director, then you become a manager director. Yeah? So these are all the statuses. And as you go up this ladder, your wealth, your status, your cars, your house, your clothing, everything changes. So success in this dunya is measured by your wealth, by your position, and by your status. How is success measured in the akhirat? Is it measured by status? By how far you are up the ladder? For example, in Dawat Islami, we have people that work in the local masjids. Then we have the Zali Nigrans, and in the UK, we have the town Nigrans. Then we have the county managers. Then we have regional managers. Then we have the UK Mashawar, the committee that sit down. Who is the greatest in the sight of Allah? It could be that person that is in the local masjid that gives the azan. In the sight of Allah, he could be the greatest. So within the deen, within the akhirah, status doesn't matter. Within the deen, does money matter? Are you greater in the sight of Allah because you have more money? No. There is more chance that the poor people enter paradise. So because you have more money, does not mean to say that you are greater in the status of Allah. Because you have a greater position, doesn't mean to say that you have that status in the sight of Allah. Because you have a greater education, you may be a degree holder, a master degree, a PhD holder, you may have doctor before your name. Does that mean that you are greater in the sight of Allah? No, it doesn't. So in the deen, in the akhirat, in the sight of Allah, we do not know who is greater in the sight of Allah, then we should treat everybody equally. Everybody should, yes, we should give respect to the scholars, without a doubt. We should give respect to those people that are working tirelessly for the deen, yes, without a doubt. And maybe at the same time, we should give respect to those people in the dunya that have got a high status. But who is the best? Who is the greatest? Who am I to look down on anybody and to say that I am better than somebody? I do not have that, because when it comes to the deen and the akhirat, I do not know. So our deen teaches us, viewers of the channel, that we should never look down on anybody. We should always respect people. So who do we know? How do we know? We don't know this. But nowadays, you know, because I've got status, because I've got position, because I've got power, because I've got authority, I won't even give salam to people. I won't even smile at people. Why should I give my slum to him? Who does, you know, why, you know, forget it. I don't have to give him time. I don't have to give him time. He doesn't have any money. He doesn't have any status. I don't have to give him time. You know? Who is he? I don't have to give him time. This is wrong. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Al-Hajrat, verse 13. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and I give you the translation, indeed, the most honorable amongst you, according to Allah, is the one who is most pious amongst you. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing. Indeed, Allah is all-aware. Only Allah is all-knowing. Only Allah is all-aware. Who is the most pious? Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that the most pious is the most honorable. How do you measure piety? You know, you can get a thermometer that measures temperature. Your car can measure speed. You know, you've got a speedometer in your car. You have these monitors that can measure your blood pressure. How can you measure piety? You can't. Because you cannot measure piety, who are you to say that you are more honorable, you are better, you are more respected than the person next to you? You don't know. And you don't know this. And because of this, you should never look down on people. But unfortunately today, our society is moving towards a state where, you know, we've got an arrogant state. We think we're better than anybody. We think we know better than anybody. Because of the clothes. Because I'm a Madani channel, I must be better than all of you. That's not true. Just because I'm sitting here, and I'm talking to you now, does that make me the most pious person of all the people that are watching this? No. Without a shadow of a doubt, no. It could be a person that is sitting at home right now, that's just come home from work, they've earned a halal income all day, they're just resting, they're waiting for salat time to come, and they're just having a good cup of tea, they're watching the TV channel, they're watching this. That person, you, could be the most pious person that is watching this program. If there are thousands, if there are millions of people that are watching this, you could be the most pious person. Who knows? Allah knows. Allah is all-knowing. Allah is all-aware. And for us to look down on people, for us to think that we are better than people, this again is something that we should not. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people, you have one Lord, and you have one Father. Hear this, listen to this. Hear this, he says. An Arab is not superior to a non-Arab, nor does a non-Arab have superiority over an Arab. Someone with a fair skin is not greater than someone with a dark skin, nor are the dark skin greater than the fair skin. The one amongst is the pious, the one amongst you who is the most pious is the most superior upon you. Indeed, the most pious amongst you are the most honorable in the sight of Allah. An Arab is not better than a non-Arab. A non-Arab is not better than an Arab. A light-skinned one is not better than a dark-skinned. A dark-skinned one is not better than a light-skinned. Who is the best? The most pious. And in there, you know, when it mentions the light-skinned and the dark-skinned, unfortunately in societies today, we look down on people that have dark skin. We don't think that they are, you know, attractive, they're good-looking. When they're looking for a rishta, for the son or for the daughter, oh, he's got dark skin. Allah decided the skin of that person. Nowadays people put creams on their face to make your skin whiter. Allah decreed the color of your skin and you are now changing it. Be happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. I remember once a Habshi Muslim. He said, I have big lips. He was from Africa. He said, I have big lips. I have a big nose. I have black skin. I have tight curly hair. But I'm proud. I'm so happy with my lips. I'm so happy with my nose. I'm so happy with my dark skin. I'm so happy with my tight curly. Why? Because Allah made these lips. Allah made this nose. Allah gave me that tight hair. Allah gave me that skin. Who am I to say what is better for me? Allah gave it you. And if Allah gave it you, then who am I to say what is better and what is worse? That a dark skin is better than a light skin. A light skin is better than a dark skin. Who am I to say this? So again, this is something that is non-Islamic. Yes, I know it's in our cultures, I know it's in societies, but this is not in our deen. If you want to look for a rishta for your son, if you want to look for a rishta for your daughter, you know, a match for your son or your daughter, then don't look at the color of the skin. Don't look at their pay packet. Look, are they pious? Do they read the namaz 5 times a day? Do they fast during the month of Ramadan? Do they have that taqwa inside them, that God feeling inside them? These are the qualities that we should be looking at, because these are the best qualities. These are the qualities that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us is the best. That Allah azza wa jalla has told us that these are the most pious qualities, they are the best. We're not told that the best person amongst you is him that has the biggest bank balance. We're not said that the best person amongst you is he that has the biggest car. The best person is amongst you who has the biggest house. No. The best amongst us is he who is most pious. So when looking at someone, look at their piety and determine from that how good that person is, how suitable that person is for you. And in the same way, right at the beginning where we're told that blessings of the Durood-e Pāk in which we are told, that gathering in which there is no piety, in that gathering in which they are not talking about Allah and His Rasul, then what is the benefit of that gathering? The best gathering is that gathering in which Allah and His Rasul are mentioned, in which Salat is sent upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the best gathering. So these are the things that we need to look at. Not those gatherings in which there's more, you know, the people have got more money. Not that gatherings in which they've got the best contacts. You know, these are the things. I'm going there because he has all the contacts and I want to get to know him. Yeah, go to that gathering in which that person can teach you how to read your namaz properly. Go to that gathering in which that brother can teach you how to read your Quran properly. And beg him, brother, please teach me to read the Quran properly. Beg him, please teach me to read my salat properly. This is the mindset that we should have. You know, we look like Muslims. We may eat and drink like Muslims, but do we think like a Muslim should think? Unfortunately, if we look at that, then that's where we are failing. That our thought pattern is not such that we look at people. We look at their pocket, we look at their car, we look at their house, and all of a sudden we've decided what they are like. We don't look at their piety. We don't look at how often they're going to the masjid. We don't look at how often they're travelling in the way of Allah. You know, we don't look at the sacrifices that they're making for the deen. Again, this is where we got our priorities wrong. Viewers of the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we are talking about the blessed personality of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala. And today we've got a few packages for you. We're going to go to the first package of the day, inshallah, in which we're going to learn something about this great personality, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
From amongst the titles of Ala Hazrat itself, he was a Mujaddid. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated that inna Allah ta'ala yib'athu lihadihi al-umma ala ra'si kulli mi'ati sanatin man yujaddidu laha dinaha. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to this ummah after every 100 years somebody who shall revive the religion. Ala Hazrat rahmallahu ta'ala, he has many titles, Ala Hazrat itself being one of them. Imam of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He is a mujaddid, yes, a reviver of the traditions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a protector of the faith. And from amongst all of these things, he is also a great muhaddith. There was a scholar by the name of Hazrat Shaykh Wasi' Surti rahmallahu ta'ala, who is a great muhaddith. A muhaddith is a person who relates a hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would give dars, he would teach the hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahih Bukhari, the most authentic book of hadith sharif, he taught for 40 years. 40 years, my dear viewers. And he had memorized the entire Sahih Bukhari. Allahu Akbar. Such an individual, this great Shaykh, this great Muhaddis, had also given Ala Hazrat a title. What was this? This was in relation to Hadith Sharif. Amirul Mu'mineen fil Ahadith. He was the meaning, and what is the Amirul Mu'mineen? That person who possesses the most knowledge and precedence over others in this particular field of Hadith Sharif. Subhanallah, Ala Hazrat. And this is why we call him Ala Hazrat, Subhanallah. This individual was a Mujaddid, he was a Faqih, he was a scholar of many sciences, and from amongst those, he was also a Muhaddith and Amirul Mu'mineen fil Ahadith. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you're on the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And in these series of programs, we look at our past, we look at our rich heritage, and see what lessons we can learn from yesterday to make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. Today we're talking about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah. And there is one book that every house should have, and obviously that is the Holy Quran. And in understanding the Holy Quran, you need obviously to have a translation of the Holy Quran. And the best translation that you can have in any household is the translation that was done by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat himself, Kanzul Iman. The translation that I have with me at the moment in front of you is Kanzul Iman. This has now been translated into the language of English, and it's available from our Maktabatul Wida, and you can get it anywhere. And it's a beautiful translation, and I would advise everybody to have a copy of this in the household. This is the beautiful translation, and again, you need to understand the Quran, and we need to read the Quran and understand it. And this particular translation was done by a true lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I would advise you all to please purchase this copy of Kanzul Iman, get it in your household. And at the same time, Amir al-Sunnah, he encourages us to read at least 3 verses of the Quran with commentary on a daily basis. This is something that we all need to do. If we can do this and act upon this, then inshallah azza wa jal, we'll see a change in our houses. And this can be done collectively, it can be done as a family, that, you know, one person today, it's the father's responsibility, tomorrow it's the mother, then encourage the son, the daughter, to read 3 verses every day, and collectively listen to the translation. And inshallah azza wa jal, we'll learn to understand what our Rabb, what Allah azza wa jal wants from us. We can learn to understand how we can get closer to Allah. We can learn to understand what is needed, what is required by us. This is the manual for life. You know, nowadays people spend more time on here, finding out about things, going on, looking at videos, looking at other articles. This is the book that we should be reading. This is the book that we should be trying to understand. This is the book that we should try and follow. This is our guide. And if we can learn the how to read this book, if we can learn the translation, read the translation, then inshallah azza wa jalla, we can make a great change in our life. Today, we are talking about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah, a great scholar of the past, a great true, without a doubt, a true lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a great scholar indeed. The knowledge that he had, the wisdom that he had, the hikmah that he had, but also at the same time, we see that a lot of people, and we mentioned it earlier on, there are a lot of people that when they get this power, when they get this status, then it affects their character. They start looking down on people. They start showing that they are better than people. But Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah, he lived his life in such a way as a perfect example that, look, I'm in a position where I have a position of power, I have a position of status, but I'm still being humble. Why am I being humble? Because this is the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what our deen teaches us. And so he was an example of that. And there's many, many examples. Early on, we mentioned the example of where he looked down on people that were arrogant. And he also brought those people that were maybe looked at, that were lower in society, but he made them equal in his sit, in his gathering. You know, he didn't think that this person, he's a barber, or this person, he's only a poor person. He made them sit with him, and he made them sit on those positions, or places in the gathering that were supposed to be places of honor. So he'd give them the respect, and this is something that we need to learn, to give people the respect that they are due. In another incident, just to show what kind of mindset he had, during the rainy season, people will go to the masjid and travel in the rain. Haji Kafayatullah Rahmatullah felt the difficulty of this, and he purchased an umbrella and he gave it as a gift to Sayyidi Al-Hazrat. But he kept it with himself. And when Haji Kafayatullah would see Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah, he would take the Imam with him to the masjid under the umbrella. So out of respect, that when Sayyidi Al-Hazrat was walking to the masjid, he would open the umbrella and he would put it above him, so that obviously the rain would not come on Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah. Now one day, a few days passed, and someone who needed an umbrella requested for one. He said to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat that it's raining and I'm finding it difficult. Is there any chance that you can get me an umbrella from somewhere? Straight away, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat took that umbrella that was bought, purchased for him for his own personal use, and he gave it to this individual so that he could benefit from it. Now in this particular case, you see that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat not only gave something that someone needs, but also gave away something that he also needed. And this is the true measure of when we give something. You know, if we give our old clothes, then what have you given? Them old clothes, you're going to put them in the bin anyway. You know, if you give something that's worn, if you give something that you don't want anymore, oh, I don't need it anymore, I'll give it to the poor. You know, giving something that you need, giving something that you want, giving something that you would use or utilize,
That is proper giving, isn't it? And Sayyidina Al-Azhar has given a perfect example there, where he would give something. He would give it to the people, you know, because they felt that that person actually requested from him. He could have said, well, okay, you know what, I'll keep an eye out for one. If I find one, if I see if anybody will give me one, or if anybody will donate one for me, then inshallah I'll get one for you. But rather than that, and if the person had looked up at his umbrella, he could say, yeah, I know you can see this, but I need it as well, you know. I'm travelling to the masjid at the moment, and I don't want to get ill, I don't want to get a cold, so I need this umbrella for myself, but if I can get an umbrella for you, I'll get it you. Don't worry, I'll try and sort something out, I'll see what I can do. This is what our answers would be. Yeah? And maybe even then we wouldn't. Because first and foremost, the thing that comes to mind is that this person, he could come and ask the question. He felt happy enough, or confident enough, or comfortable enough rather. He felt comfortable enough that he could come and ask Sayyidina Ala Hazrat Ramadullah for an umbrella. He had that, Sayyidina Ala Hazrat Ramadullah, he had that relationship with people that they could come and ask. Nowadays, we find it hard to ask our elder brother, we find it hard to ask our fathers, ask them questions, anything. We haven't got that relationship. We haven't got that relationship with our teachers. We haven't got that relationship with our elders. But again, Sayyidina Ali Hazrat had this relationship that a person could come up to him. A person could come up to him and say, I want an umbrella. And Sayyidina Ali Hazrat Ramadullah, there was that personality that rather than brush him off, rather than say, yeah, okay, I'll think about it, let me see what I could do, he straight away grabbed the umbrella and said, here you are. Allahu Akbar. So every aspect of that two-minute conversation, where would we stand? Would we give anything? Would we sacrifice anything? It is stated in a hadith that someone who desires something, then withholds that desire and gives preference to someone over himself, shall be forgiven by Allah. Sayyidina Ala Hazrat desired and needed the umbrella. Allahu Akbar. Where do we stand on this? Would we do anything like this? Yes, I know, mashallah, there are a lot of people that spend in the way of Allah. There are a lot of people that give in the way of Allah. They give their clothes, they give their money, give things. But what about those things that you want? You know, maybe you give, but do you really sacrifice? And say that, you know, I'm earning 10,000 rupees a month, 15,000 rupees a month, and I've given half of my salary, or I've given 1 month of my salary. Now that for that person, as a percentage wise, you know, a person who is a millionaire and he gives £1,000, what is that? 0.1%? But a person who has £100 and he gives £90, that's 90%. Then at that £90 in the sight of Allah is probably greater than that £1,000. Who knows? But then what are we doing? What sacrifices are we giving? What are we doing and spending in the way of Allah? Views on the channel, we're going to take another small break here. You're watching Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And we're going to listen to a Munkabat. And a Munkabat, inshallah, in praise of Sayyidina Ali Hazrat. The topic of Sayyidina Ali Hazrat, people have done degrees on it. We can talk for hours and hours, and series of programs have been done on his life. But it's very important that we learn about these people. Learn about aspects of their life. Inshallah, we're going to listen to a Munkabat now. Inshallah, we're going to learn something a little bit more about his life. And then when we come back, we're going to, inshallah, talk a little bit more about his life, maybe some of his works as well, and inshallah, some of his love for the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's go to the Munkabat of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mere raza, pyare raza, Bukhareli ke shah, mere Ahmad raza. عشق و محبت عشق و محبت اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت پیکر سنت رہبر ملت اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت حامی سنت ماہی بدعت اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت پیر طریقت شیخ شریعت اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت دین کی کونے کی ہے خدمت اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت غوث و خواجہ کی ہے عشق و محبت کی ہے علامت روزہ اعلی حضرت کا عشق و محبت کی ہے علامت روزہ اعلی حضرت کا
حیبہ سے رکھتا ہے نسبت قبا اعلی حضرت کا
میرے اعلی حضرت کا پیارے اعلی حضرت کا میرے اعلی حضرت کا پیارے اعلی حضرت کا
حق سمجھایا حق فرمایا میرے اعلی حضرت نے حق سمجھایا حق فرمایا میرے اعلی حضرت نے نور ہدایت کا ہے ضامن رستہ اعلی حضرت کا نور ہدایت کا ہے ضامن رستہ اعلی حضرت کا بستی بستی ان کی باتیں وادی وادی ان کا نام بستی بستی ان کی باتیں وادی وادی ان کا نام ساری دنیا میں ہوتا ہے چرچا اعلی حضرت کا ساری دنیا میں ہوتا ہے چرچا اعلی حضرت کا
عشق محبت کی علامت اعلی حضرت کا
پیارے آقا سے ہے ان کی سچی محبت کا یہ اثر پیارے آقا سے ہے ان کی سچی محبت کا یہ اثر پیارے آقا سے ہے ان کی سچی محبت کا یہ اثر پیارے آقا سے ہے ان کی سچی محبت کا یہ اثر سچی محبت کا یہ اثر سارے عالم میں بجتا ہے ڈنکا اعلی حضرت کا سارے عالم میں بجتا ہے ڈنکا اعلی حضرت کا ڈنکا اعلی حضرت امام اہل سنت
رضا
مجدد دین و ملت
رضا
پروانہ شمع رسالت
رضا
امام عشق و محبت ان کی نعتوں سے ملتا ہے عشق شہ کونین ہمیں عشق شہ کونین ہمیں ان کی نعتوں سے ملتا ہے عشق شہ کونین ہمیں ان کی نعتوں سے ملتا ہے عشق شہ کونین ہمیں کیوں نہ مل کر گاتے رہے ہم نغمہ اعلی حضرت کا کیوں نہ مل کر گاتے رہے ہم نغمہ اعلی حضرت کا میں بھی غلام ابن غلام اعلی حضرت ہوں لوگو میں بھی غلام ابن غلام اعلی حضرت ہوں لوگو میری گردن میں بھی پڑا ہے پٹا اعلی حضرت کا میری گردن میں بھی پڑا ہے پٹا اعلی حضرت کا سنیوں کے پیشوا
میرے آقا احمد رضا
ہیں بریلی کے شاہ
میرے آقا احمد رضا
خائف کبریا
میرے آقا احمد رضا
با عمل با حیا
میرے آقا احمد رضا محبت کی ہے علامت روضہ اعلی حضرت کا میرے اعلی حضرت کا میرے اعلی حضرت کا میرے اعلی حضرت کا میرے اعلی حضرت کا
عشق و محبت اعلی حضرات عشق و محبت اعلی حضرات عشق و محبت عشق و محبت اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت کیسا یہ مقبول ہوا ہے نعرہ اعلی حضرت کا کیسا یہ مقبول ہوا ہے نعرہ اعلی حضرت کا عشق و محبت عشق و محبت
اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت
عشق و محبت عشق و محبت
اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت
عشق نبی کی دولت ہم کو بھی مل جائے یا اللہ عشق نبی کی دولت ہم کو بھی مل جائے یا اللہ تجھ کو الہی دیتے ہیں ہم صدقہ اعلی حضرت کا تجھ کو الہی دیتے ہیں ہم صدقہ اعلی حضرت کا
میرے
پرچم عشق رسالت رکھا اونچا اعلی حضرت نے پرچم عشق رسالت رکھا اونچا اعلی حضرت نے رب نے اونچا کر رکھا ہے جھنڈا اعلی حضرت کا رب نے اونچا کر رکھا ہے جھنڈا اعلی حضرت کا ان کے شہزادوں کی بہاریں دیکھ کے دنیا دنگ ہوئی ان کے شہزادوں کی بہاریں دیکھ کے دنیا دنگ ہوئی دیکھو دیکھو کیسا جمع ہے سکہ اعلی حضرت کا دیکھو دیکھو کیسا جمع ہے سکہ اعلی حضرت کا
عشق و محبت کی ہے علامت اعلی حضرت کا میرے اعلی حضرت کا میرے
یوں ہی تیرا نام نہیں ہے یوں ہی تیرا نام نہیں ہے اہل محبت کے لب پر یوں ہی تیرا نام نہیں ہے اہل محبت کے لب پر تو ہے مشاہد رضوی بے شک شہدا اعلی حضرت کا تو ہے مشاہد رضوی بے شک شہدا اعلی حضرت کا شہدا اعلی حضرت سنیوں کے پیشوا
میرے احمد رضا
ہیں بریلی کے شاہ
میرے احمد رضا
خائف کبریا
میرے احمد رضا
باعمل باحیا
میرے احمد رضا
رضا
میرے حضرت کا پیارے حضرت کا میرے
عشق و محبت عشق و محبت
اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت
طے کر سنت رہبر ملت
اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت
حامی سنت ماہی بدعت
اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت
پیر طریقت شیخ شریعت
اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت
دین کی تو نے کی ہے خدمت
اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت
غوث و خواجہ کی ہے حمایت
اعلی حضرت اعلی حضرت
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow, and in today's program we're talking about the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. And we just had a munkabat there, which basically tells us or praises this great personality. And it's these aspects of his life that we need to learn about, we need to understand what a personality was and how significant he was for us today. And a lot of people will say to you that if it was not for the great personality of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, then everything that you're watching in front of you now, Madri Channel, Dawah Islami, everything that it's achieved, it would not have been there. It's because of the great personality that he was, the influence that he's had, you know, on people all around the world, his teachings, his love for the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But also, you know, a person, unless they have a good character,
then people are not inclined to listen to that person. So you may be speaking the truth, you may be speaking eloquently, you may have all of the knowledge, you may have all of the facts, but if behind the scenes you're not a decent person, so to speak, then people aren't going to listen to you. If behind the scenes, you know, if you're rough with people, if you're not good with people, if you're not kind with people, then people will, you know, people will stay away from you because of your character. So as Muslims, it is very, very important that no matter how much knowledge we have, our character is what we should need to concentrate on. And again, I'm going to give you another beautiful example of the life of Sayyidina Ali Hazrat and how his character was. He stated that during the month of Ramadan, he would be in itikaf, and he was sitting in itikaf in masjid in Brilli Sharif. And what would happen was, he would not eat after iftar. He wouldn't have a meal after iftar. And he would only eat paan, you know, the betel leaf, and at the home of Suhail. But at Sarihi, he would eat a small bowl of custard made of milk, sugar, and rice flour, as well as chutney, both of which he would receive from home. Now one night, after iftari, that paan did not arrive. Okay? Now he did not have a habit of asking. You know, a lot of people are like, where is it? Why is it not come here? Go and ask him, go and check him. He didn't have a habit of asking. And it's a good habit not to ask for things. He didn't ask for it. And sometime later, approximately 2 hours later, a young child brought the palm leaf. And Sayyidina Ali Hazrat tapped him on the head, you know, for being late. And said to him, oh, you were late. And asked him why it took so long. However, so the child then went. And when the child went, Sayyidina Ali Hazrat realized later on that the child was not at fault. It wasn't his fault. Somebody will have sent him. And it's that person that sent him. So it wasn't at fault. So it was bothering him. And it was, you know, getting to that, you know, I touched that child, I slapped that child on his head, I tapped him. It wasn't his fault. So as said, he called for that child to come. And that child came. He said to this child, I was at fault for hitting you last night. It was not your fault, but the one who sent you late. So in return, you need to hit me. You need to hit me on the head in return. Allahu Akbar. And then he removed his hat and he insisted that this child should hit him. Now the people sitting in itikaf, they're thinking, what's going on here? And basically a commotion was up and they started looking at what's going on here. And the child, even though he was a child, he was old enough to understand, the child said that, I forgive you, it's okay, I forgive you. Yeah? And Sayyidina Ali Hazrat said to him, that you are a child. You don't have a right to forgive me. So he hit me, he replied. Hit me, he said. And the child refused to hit him. Sayyidina Ali Hazrat asked for his box. He had a box there. He took out a handful of money. And he said, I will give you this, but hit me. The child continuously refused and said, I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. In the end, the imam took the hand of the child and he hit himself with the child's hand several times on his head. And he gave the child the money and let him go. Allahu Akbar. Again, think about the status of Sayyidina Ali Hazrat. Think about who he's talking to. It's a child, isn't it? It's only a child. It's only a child. You know, sometimes when we hurt the feelings of a child, it's only a child. If we upset a child, it's only a child. He'll get over it. Don't worry about it. He'll get over it. That's our mindset. Oh, he'll get over it. He'll forget about it. And without doubt, children, as they get older, they forget all these things. What happened to them, you know, prior to, if you were to look at your old memories, you know, I have vague memories of what happened before I was 10, but I don't remember everything. I don't remember all them things, and I have older memories as well, but I don't remember everything that happened. So, oh, you forget about it. Oh, you'll get over it. Oh, don't, it's only a kid in a year or what. Again, look at Sayyidina Ali Hazrat. He felt he was wrong. He was wrong. He didn't think, oh, it's only a kid. He didn't think, oh, it's only a poor person. Oh, it's only this. No, you are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong. And again, there's a great message there for us. That with us, you know, we're talking a little about our status. He was seeing that Sayyidina Ali Hazrat in the status of a person that was poor, he gave him the respect. In the status of someone that came and asked, he gave it him. In the status of a child, he sought his forgiveness from the child. He looked at the child and said to the child, please forgive me, I have wronged you. Again, these are beautiful messages for beautiful tips, beautiful motherly pearls for us of how we should live our life. If we have wronged our children, if we've upset our own children, we've sent our children to bed because they're upset, and later on we find out, you know what, they weren't wrong. It's something that the mother said or something else happened, you know. Do we go and look to that child and say, but I'm sorry, I realized it wasn't your fault? Oh, forget it, it's all right. You forget about it. By morning, you'll be all right. Yeah, forget about it. That's our attitude. And that should never be our attitude, not only with our own kids, but with any children, with anybody. Not only with children, with everybody. If we are wrong, we should admit that we are wrong. And no matter who it is, no matter how low that status is, no matter how low that age is, if we are wrong, seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness from that person. Ask that person to forgive you. And unfortunately today, nowadays, we don't. We forget about it. And this is generally speaking that we forget about all our misdemeanors. We forget about all our shortcomings. We forget about all our sins. We remember all our good deeds, but we forget all these things. And we shouldn't. And those sins that we have committed that are with regards to Allah Azza wa Jalla, we should sincerely repent. But these sort of things we should also repent, but at the same time, we need to go and seek forgiveness from that individual. So if we've hurt the feelings of anybody, if we've lied to anybody, if we cheated anybody, then go and seek, yes, repent in the court of Allah, but go to that person as well. Sayyidina Ali Azadi could have sat there, he was in the masjid, he was in itikaf. And he could have said, Ya Allah, you know, I hit this child. I tapped the child on the head. Ya Allah, I've wronged him, please forgive me. End of. But no. He realized that he must also seek forgiveness from that child. And that child, that even that child was willing to forgive him, but he still didn't feel it inside him. It wasn't enough. Why? Because he thought maybe that child is forgiving me. Why? Because of my status. You know, maybe when someone seeks your forgiveness because of their status, you think, yeah, oh, he's a big person, he's a wealthy person, he's a powerful person, I need to forgive him. Okay, I forgive you. But really, we don't. Would we forgive that person if he was, you know, a lowly individual? Probably, I'm not going to forgive you. Why should I forgive you? Who do you think you are? That would be our attitude. And say the hell is it inside to him, it was affecting him. And not only did he want this child to forgive him, he wanted the child to take back what he had done to him. And he gave him money, he grabbed all his hand and hit him on his head. Allahu Akbar. This again is a message there for us. That we should ponder, we should reflect over our actions. Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawah Islamiyah, he's given us this pious deeds booklet. And what is this pious deeds booklet? It's to make us reflect, to make us ponder, to make us think, what have I done? What have I been doing? What should I have done? What shouldn't I have done? And ponder and reflect. You know, we go forward and we forget what's happened behind us. But you need to understand everything that's behind you is being recorded. Everything that's been behind you that you've gone past, so to speak, you'll be held accountable for on the day of judgment. You'll be questioned about that. You can't say, forget about it. You have forgot about it. And maybe the person that you've affected has forgot about it. Maybe they have genuinely forgot about it. And sometimes also what happens is, you think you've hurt someone's feelings, but actually you've not. When you find out later on you've not, because they're not. I didn't realize, I didn't bother. But inside you, if you have that feeling, you know what, maybe you took it the wrong way. Maybe I shouldn't have said it like that. And go to that person and say, brother, you know, that conversation that I had, maybe it came across as like this, and maybe I was wrong. Nowadays, you know, people use messages, they send messages to each other. And messages have a problem. Messages don't have the tone of the message. Yeah? You can't distinguish the tone of the message. You know, a message could say, something like, I haven't received the package. Yeah? And that same message, if it's dinner, I haven't received the message. Yeah? And that tone of the two messages, you know, is completely different. So, you know, people sometimes, when they send messages to each other, they hurt people's feelings without even realizing it. So again, when you're sending messages, you know, when you're talking with people, you need to be very careful of how you speak, what messages you send. And if you feel that you've hurt someone's feelings, then go and seek forgiveness. You know, people say nowadays that your status is lowered if you seek forgiveness from someone lower than you. It's not true. It's not true. Your status is raised. Seek forgiveness. Forgive people and seek forgiveness. Go to them and ask them for their forgiveness. Whatever the status, doesn't matter who they are. And we see here with Sayyidina Al-Azhar that it was a small child that he saw forgiveness. Now time is running out. We've got another small package and I've got a few more things I want to say at the end. We're going to go to this final package of the day, inshaAllah. So would you learn something a little bit more about Sayyidina Al-Azhar? And then we're going to come back and hopefully wrap up the program. Let's go to the final package of the day. Sallu ala Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Introduction to Al-Azhar Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. Rahmatullahi Ali. His name is Ahmad Raza and his most famous title is Ala Hazrat. He was born in a locality of Bareilly called Jasuli on Saturday, 10th Shawwal al-Mukarram, 1272 Hijri, at the time of Dhuhr, corresponding to June 14, 1856. At the age of 4.5, he had the honor of completing Nazira, reciting the Holy Quran by looking. At the age of 6, in the blessed month of Rabi'ul Awwal, he took to the stage and delivered an inspiring speech on the topic of Mawlidun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of a large congregation and received accolades and appreciation from Islamic scholars and religious leaders. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi wrote valuable books on approximately 50 subjects. When he was just 13 years, 10 months and 4 days old, he finished learning all conventional sciences from his respected father, Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan, alayhi rahmatullahi al-mannan. At the age of 13, he rahmatullahi alayhi wrote his first decree, fatwa, answering a question. His respected father, rahimahullah, found the decree to be correct and bestowed the chair of ifta upon him. Until his passing, he kept writing fatawa, decrees. He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, some people who are unaware add hafiz before my name. I'm not deserving of this title. So he began memorizing the Quran from that day onwards. Now the duration of his memorization was from after performing the wudu of Isha Salah, and he would continue memorizing until the Jama'at began. And he used to memorize one para daily, one part daily. Eventually, he memorized all 30 parts in just 30 days. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma was an epitome of devotion to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His poetry, Hadaiq-e-Bakhshish, is a testimony to his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He rahmatullahi alayhi wrote approximately 1,000 books on various topics, and Fatawa Razawiyya is his most amazing masterpiece. A collection of fatawa attributed to him. It's available in 30 volumes and the total pages are 21,656 and the total number of questions and answers are 6,847. The total books in this collection are 206. On Friday 25th, Safar al-Muzaffar, 1340 Hijri, corresponding to October 28, 1921, 2:38 according to the local time of India and 2:08 PM according to the local time of Pakistan, he passed away at the time of Jumu'ah Adhan. The elite, dignitaries and the public visit his blessed shrine, which is located in Bareilly Sharif.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers on the channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And in this series of programs, we look at our past, we look at yesterday to see what we can learn, to make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. And in today's program, we've been looking at the character of Sayyidi ala Hazrat Ramadullah. Because, and on the 10th of Shawwal was the day that he was born. So we remember him, and we remember him throughout the year as well. But in this particular program, we're looking at his character and how he lived his life. You know, people that are pious, or they appear to be pious, and we've mentioned this before, people that appear to be pious, a lot of people go to them and ask them, Sayyidi, you know, Azur, please do dua for me. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he would make special dua. Special duas for his relatives, for his friends, his followers, his disciples, and other Muslims as well. And he would take this responsibility of doing dua for people very, very seriously. It is said that after performing the Fajr prayer and reciting his wazaif that he would recite, he would do prayer for every person by name. And the people remained hopeful of being present on the list of his names. He would have a list of names. It is stated that Sayyidi Ayub Ali Ramutullah Ta'ala said, I was very worried one day and I requested Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ramutullah Ta'ala to supplicate for me. He supplicated and said to me and my brother, Sayyid Kanat Ali, I have included your names on my list of people that I pray for. It is slowly becoming longer and longer and I have memorized all the names and I pray for them by name on a daily basis. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So rather than saying, Ya Allah, you know, all those people that asked dua for me, forgive them. He would remember the names. Can you imagine that if such a person, that such a great personality,
did dua and he used your name in the dua, how would you feel? Again, that's a way of entering people's hearts. And he would remember the names off by heart, so people would come to him and say, you know, my name is this, please do dua for me. And he would add it to the list and he would remember that list off by heart. And you can imagine, he doesn't say, hey, how long the list was. Can you imagine how many people would go to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ahmadullah and say, ya Azur, do dua for me? It would be a great list. But he would make sure that he did dua for them. He made sure he did dua for them. Another thing that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat did, and you would realize this, the significance of this, that he would make a habit of attending as many funerals as possible. Because that is the time where people need comfort. That is the time where people needed consoling. And he would go there and he would comfort them and he would be there. Nowadays, when we go to a funeral, why do we go? Oh yeah, because I know him. If I don't go, then the family will get upset. Oh, I need to go because his brother's like an MP. Oh, I need to go because they've got a really, really wealthy family and maybe I'll get a job. These are the wrong intentions. Go because, you know, it is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The pious predecessors would go there. Go and do dua for the deceased. So that inshallah when your time comes, people will do dua for you. You know, how many was Noah to perform Salatul Janazah? How many was Noah to perform the ghusl and the kafan of the mayyit? How many of us know this? And we should know this. And Dawah Islami again is providing this service for us. But coming back to what Sayyidina Khalidat would do, he would do dua. He would do dua for people. And he would do dua for everybody. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, regards to dua, in Surah Muhammad verse 19, and O beloved, seek forgiveness for the sins of your special and common believing men and women. Do dua. You know, this is the greatest weapon we have. I remember the other day I was sat with a brother, and I was talking about a certain problem that was happening. And I said, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to solve this problem, I don't know how to resolve. And he said, brother, do you do dua? And I thought, you know what, he's right. He said, do you get up at the hajjat and read dua for them, for that problem to be resolved? Do you do dua? And I thought, no, I don't. He said, do that first. If you're on the channel, you've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. We're coming to the end of the program. Once again, I'd just like to highlight this beautiful book, To My Left, Kanzul Iman. It's available in the English translation. You can get it from Maktabat al-Madina. I would advise every household to get a copy of this. You can order it online. At the moment, it's not very expensive. I think at the moment it's £12, £50, whatever it is. No matter how much it is, please get a copy in your house. And don't just get a copy in your house and put it on the shelf so it looks good. Bring it into your house and read it. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I send me the wrong way, Allah Azza wa Jalla, forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we can learn from the life of these great personalities, bring some of the aspects of their character, their life, learn lessons from their life, to make a change in our life today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. You've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. But until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Holy Allah, the universe is the body and its soul.